Welcome back to Table Talk. Hope you freshened up your coffee a little bit. Piping hot. So that it will maybe stop the mouth of the preacher so they have to listen a little bit, as Brent referenced in the first half.
Oh, my goodness. I'm in deep trouble.
I always wondered why he nuked my coffee before he gave it to me, before we go recording here. Anyway, folks, sorry about that. Office of the Keys, that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. Oh, yeah? Says who, preacher? Where does that come from? Prove it. Well, that's the John 20 language that you may mention.
That's what the small catechism quotes, John 20, and especially verses 19 to 23. The whole story, just real quickly, of course, it's resurrection evening. And, you know, what do you expect when you hurt somebody? I mean, what do you expect to receive back?
Retribution.
Exactly. And so Peter has denied Jesus. The others have fled, and I would contend by their fleeing and not willing to be around Jesus when he's arrested and hung on the cross, they really don't want to be associated with him. And so, you know, we're going to stay away from him. And so, in a sense, they too deny him. And so, you know, when you hurt someone like this, you fully expect for that person that you've hurt to come back and get you back.
Well, that's how man thinks, right?
Yeah.
And that's how it often works in the world, tit for tat.
And yeah, so they're afraid. They've locked themselves up in a room for fear of the Jews, the text says. I mean, they killed Jesus. They're going to come after him, us too, because we followed him. And so Jesus doesn't even knock. He just plows right in, if you will. He just shows up. He's in the room. So,
begs the question, would they have been more scared if it was the Romans that showed up or if Jesus showed up?
I don't know. I'll speak for myself. I mean, if I'm Peter and I see Jesus show up unannounced and not knocking, and all of a sudden he's there, I'm in deep trouble, because I fully expect this Jesus to lambast me. I mean, for what I did to him, that's what I would expect. And just the opposite happens. He says, "Peace be with you." That's an absolution. That's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Everything's right. And of course, he shows them his hands and his side. And that, of course, is where the peace, the forgiveness comes from, his bloody death. And that's when their fear turns to joy. They were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then he speaks another peace to them, another forgiveness, another peace word. And he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." And then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And whosoever sins you do not forgive, they're not forgiven." Okay, that's John 20, 19 to 23 in a nutshell.
This is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth, to use the catechism's language.
Yeah, pastors are commanded to forgive sins. That's not an option.
They're sent by God.
Yeah.
And they're given the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does.
That's exactly right.
Bring peace.
That's exactly right. And the word of absolution is the Spirit-filled word of Christ. My words are spirit and they're life, John 6:63. And so whenever you hear a pastor say, "You're forgiven, Jesus died for you," or formally, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit," this is the Holy Spirit at work. This is Christ speaking to you, and it's his Spirit-filled word that he started and inaugurated, if I can talk like that, in John 20, the very night of his resurrection.
Let me pick up on that language just a bit there, Brent. You said earlier when Jesus appears, he says, "Peace be with you," and that's a word of absolution, and I agree with that. The Holy Spirit, when Jesus dies on the cross, you know, he says, "It is finished." And then he bows his head and gives up his spirit, gives up the spirit, okay? When the Holy Spirit comes to you, he is in essence saying to you, "It is finished. It is finished in Christ's death." And when Jesus shows up, he shows them his hands and his side. It's the "it is finished for you" absolution, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And this is what the church, with her ministry, is to proclaim: the forgiveness of sins. The "it is finished" of Calvary is to be bestowed. The benefits that Jesus won are to be given to people, to sinners, the ungodly, the people for whom he died, so that they will believe in him, so that faith will come by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And the absolution is a word of Christ, so that people will believe in him. I mean, we should not be afraid to absolve people. We should not be afraid to forgive people. I don't think we should be, how should I say this? I don't think we should be sparing when it comes to this. It's kind of like the sower just casting the seed out everywhere.
Yeah, we tend to be afraid that we're casting pearls before the swine rather than being the sower who just throws it all over the place.
Now, there may be a case where you may not do that. I mean, you know, if you have somebody who says, I don't want to hear that.
Well, yeah, to the impenitent, you do not say your sins are forgiven.
You say they're not.
They're not forgiven.
You want to answer for these sins? Okay, you will. It'll kill you. It'll crush you.
You know, sometimes the impenitent, for a variety of reasons, I don't need to be forgiven, or I don't need to hear you tell me I'm forgiven, or I can't be forgiven. And I think that's one that a lot of people struggle with. I can't be forgiven. My sin's too big for Jesus. And there too, I think you need to work with that person, and you confess that Christ has finished all sin.
Yeah, I mean, you can ask diagnostic questions like, well, tell me, which sin didn't he die for?
Yeah.
Well, there isn't any. He didn't leave any out. He died for all sin and for every sinner, and that includes you. Yeah, so the proper distinction between the law and the gospel with all of this in pastoral care or in dealing with your family.
Right.
You know, if you're the head of a household, how you deal with your family, your own spouse.
Right.
The proper distinction. What needs to be said? Which word of God needs to be said?
Does this one need to be crushed, put to death,
yeah,
or resurrected?
That's right.
Right, using baptismal language once again.
Right. And here in John 20, he gives them new life. And he sends them with a task to forgive. Just as the Father has sent me, so now I'm sending you. Forgive people's sins. Tell them that they are forgiven. And the Reformation here, just to kind of, not necessarily aside, but to piggyback on this theme. You know, at the time of the Lutheran Reformation, this was absolutely a dramatic change. Because before the Reformation, most people believed that when the priest spoke the word of absolution, it really didn't do what it said. I'm going to repeat that. When the priest spoke the word of forgiveness, it did not do what it said. The Reformation said, According to the scriptures, God does everything by his word. And when he speaks, things happen. And so, you know, that's how he created everything. This is how he recreates everything, you know, through his word. The word made flesh, the word preached, the Holy Spirit-filled word proclaimed. So when the pastor says you're forgiven, that word actually does what it says. It gives what it says, Christ's forgiveness.
When Nathan says to David, you shall not die, it does that. David will not die. He lives.
Yeah.
He lives.
Yeah. So the words, the word then of forgiveness gives us certainty. It's certain and sure from the Lord himself. That's why if you look at your hymnals, you know, there's a rite for what's called individual confession and absolution. And the pastor at the end of it, he'll ask the person who's come, he'll say, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? You know, a lot of people are scandalized by that. But if they've been listening to our program on this, it might make sense. Now, the penitent says, yes, I do.
What would David have said? If Nathan would have said that.
He said yes.
Now, do you believe that what I'm going to say to you now is what the Lord says to you? That you shall not die? My forgiveness is God's forgiveness? Absolutely. That's what we've been confessing here. It's that authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive and to retain sins.
Yeah, Matthew 16, Matthew 18, John 20, where Jesus tells pastors, commands them to forgive sins, so that when they speak his word of forgiveness, Jesus is speaking. So, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? And the answer is yes. And then the pastor says, well, let it be for you as you believe, and I, in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how does faith talk? It says, amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to point out something.
And what does the pastor say?
Go in peace.
Go in peace.
Yeah.
Ah, see. Judgment Day brought forward.
That's the peace.
Yeah, you're at peace with God.
Exactly.
Heaven stands open to you.
There's a great hymn in the Lutheran service book. It's hymn 614. And stanza 5 says, the words which absolution give are his, capital H, are his who died that we might live. Now, then when it talks about the ministry, check this out. The minister whom Christ has sent is but his, capital H, humble instrument. So in case anybody was getting the wrong impression here, I want to be very clear. Christ sends pastors to proclaim his word. And it is through the word that Christ is speaking to us. And so the pastor is simply an instrument. He's just simply a mouth.
Mouth on earth.
Yeah. To proclaim the word of God. That's his main job description. You are to preach Christ's word. You are to proclaim the words he has given us. And that's why, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? The answer is yes. Yes.
And earlier on when the small catechism says that, and that by it we should not doubt, but firmly believe that by it, the pastor's absolution, that which we've heard from his mouth, our sins are forgiven before God in heaven.
And then, of course, in the next stanza of this hymn, this is stanza 6, it says, when ministers lay on their hands, absolved by Christ, the sinner stands. Now, the hymn is not trying to give us the impression that it's through the laying of hands that you're forgiven. But in the rite of individual confession absolution, when the pastor speaks the word of absolution, normally he lays his hands on the person's head. So when ministers lay on their hands, and implied there is as they speak the absolution,
right,
absolved by Christ, the sinner stands. Absolved by Christ. He's still with us, still speaking his word of forgiveness through his word.
I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Isn't that interesting? That's spoken in the context of him giving his authority and sending out his apostles.
Yes.
You know, Brent, you made reference a little bit there, too, that when the pastor absolves, he says, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we just pass right over those words. You know, maybe we hear them frequently in our liturgy, and we don't pause to think about what's actually being said there. In the stead, in the sense of standing in for, okay, and by the command. I don't do this of my own free will, if you will. The Lord has commanded me, so to speak.
Yeah, and in the stead, we shouldn't give people the impression that it's for an absent Jesus. He is present. He's just simply, the in the stead means we're speaking this on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
He's speaking it, but he's speaking it through us.
Mm-hmm.
He's still there. He's present through his word. That's very important to keep in mind, because everybody thinks that we're speaking in the stead means absent Jesus.
That's true, yeah.
That isn't true, though.
It's true that people think that way, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're all reformed in our in our natural being, you know, that God's up in heaven far, far away, but he's not.
That's right. Now, we've talked about how you can do this individually with the pastor, but every Sunday, usually in almost every Lutheran congregation, the service begins with what's called a corporate or a general confession and absolution. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. I mean, there are some people who say it's really not, but I think overall it's a good thing. I mean, I've lived with it my entire life. Are there people who we shouldn't absolve? The unrepentant, yes, there are. But that you'd have to diagnose depending on your situation.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the people that we're serving are the people who are coming, and they are ready to hear the word of God, and they want to confess their sins in general and then be absolved. And what's interesting is I'm looking at setting 3. The confession in general just goes like this. That I'm a poor, miserable sinner. That's the truth of Scripture, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I confess to you, God, all my sins and iniquities which I've ever offended you with. And what do I deserve? Your temporal and eternal punishment. See, this is speaking the truth in general about ourselves.
Right.
It's very true.
I don't have a leg to stand on before you, God.
Yeah, and another thing good about this is, you know, no comparatives. You know, a lot of people like to say, well, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. This eliminates all that. Because
yeah.
We always love to do the math and the comparison jobs. Then I'm heartily sorry for my sins, and I repent of them. And I pray for your boundless mercy and sake. Why? For the holy, innocent, and bitter sufferings of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the reason why I want you, God, to be gracious to me and to forgive me my sins.
Not for my sake, not because of me and what I have done and left undone. Otherwise, you know, if I got what I deserved, it wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
But take into consideration your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done in my stead, for me, on my behalf.
Yeah, so I hope that our little study here of the fifth chief part in the small catechism is helpful for folks. That, you know, when they do this on Sunday morning and then they hear the absolution, that they truly believe that this is the living voice of Christ, that Christ is dealing with them, and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake.
The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." The living voice of Christ in our midst, that we might have peace.